thou creative mind, maker of earth and heaven, glory and power to him belong. Joy of the sun and sky, strength where the hills arise, so let us praise with joy.
Welcome to the Wind Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those on a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Let us now join together in song with hymn number 458.
Though I may speak with moving words, which can inspire the heart of man, but have no love to seal their worth, they are but emptiness and sham.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is a gentle reminder, ours is the mind of Christ. I will be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. This week's readings are inspired by a passage by Mrs. Eddy in Miscellaneous Writings, page 250, line 14. Love is not something to be put upon a shelf, to be taken down on rare occasions with sugar tongs and laid on a rose leaf. I make strong demands on love, call for active witnesses to prove it, and noble sacrifices and grand achievements as its result. Unless these appear, I cast aside the word as a sham and counterfeit, having no ring of the true metal. Love cannot be a mere abstraction or goodness without activity and power. As a human quality, the glorious significance of affection is more than words. It is the tender, unselfish deed done in secret, the silent, ceaseless prayer, the self-forgetful heart that overflows, the veiled form stealing on an errand of mercy out of a side door, the little feet tripping along the sidewalk, the gentle hand opening the door that turns toward want and woe, sickness and sorrow, and thus lighting the dark places on earth. The Bible, Psalm. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, let God be exalted. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horned hoofs. The poor will see and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts live. Romans. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. John. The man who loves his life will lose it, which the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Mark, I tell you the truth. All the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whosoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. 2 Corinthians. And we, who with unveiled faces will reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Mark, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. James, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motive, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. 1 John, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Matthew, he called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And from Science and Health, God expresses in man the infinite idea forever developing itself, broadening and rising higher and higher from a boundless basis. Adam, a last mortal error, charges God and woman with his own dereliction, saying, "The woman whom thou gavest me is responsible." Truth, cross-questioning man as to his knowledge of error, finds woman the first to confess her fault. She says, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." As much as to say in meek repentance, "Neither man nor God shall further my fault." She has already learned the corporeal sense is the serpent. Material theories partially paralyze this attraction towards infinite and eternal good by an opposite attraction towards the finite, temporary, and discordant. Through discernment of the spiritual opposite of materiality, even the way through Christ, truth, man will reopen with the key of divine science the gates of paradise which human beliefs have closed, and will find himself unfallen, upright, pure and free, not needing to consult almanacs for the probabilities either of his life or of the weather, not needing to study brainology to learn how much of man he is. In a word, human belief is a blind conclusion from material reasoning. This is a mortal, finite sense of things, which immortal spirit silences forever. Through false estimates of soul as dwelling in sense and of mind as dwelling in matter, belief strays into a sense of temporary loss or absence of soul, spiritual truth. This state of error is the mortal dream of life and substance as existence in matter, and is directly opposite to the immortal reality of being. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longing, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. We must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with earnest hearts to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. The power of the human will should be exercised only in subordination to truth, else it will misguide the judgment and free the lower propensities. It is the province of spiritual sense to govern man. Material, erring human thought acts injuriously both upon the body and through it. The science of being furnishes the rule of perfection and brings immortality to life. Infinite mind could not possibly create a remedy outside of itself, but erring, finite human mind has an absolute need of something beyond itself for its redemption and healing. When the mechanism of the human mind gives place to divine mind, selfishness and sin, disease and death will lose their foothold. Only the action of truth, life, and love can give harmony. Happiness is spiritual, born of truth and love. It is unselfish, therefore it cannot exist alone, but requires all mankind to share it. Our system of mind healing rests on the apprehension of the nature and essence of all beings, on the divine mind and love's essential qualities. Its pharmacy is moral, and its medicine is intellectual and spiritual, used for physical healing. Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionately to their occupancy of your thought. After the stars sang together and all was primeval harmony, the material lie made war upon the spiritual idea, but this only impelled the idea to rise to the zenith of demonstration, destroying sin, sickness, and death, and to be caught up unto God, to be found in its divine principle. The false evidence of material sense contrasts strikingly with the testimony of spirit. Material sense lifts its voice with the arrogance of reality and says, "I am wholly dishonest, and no man knoweth. I can cheat, lie, commit adultery, rob, murder, and I elude detection by smooth tongue villainy. Animal in propensity, deceitful in sentiment, fraudulent in purpose, I mean to make my short span of life one gala day. What a nice thing is sin! How sin succeeds, where the good purpose awaits. The world is my kingdom. I am enthroned in the gorgeousness of matter. But a touch, an accident, the law of God, may at any moment annihilate my peace, for all my fancied joys are fatal. Like bursting lava, I expand, but to my own despair, and shine with the resplendency of consuming fire." Detach sense from the body or matter, which is only a form of human belief, and you may learn the meaning of God or good and the nature of the immutable and immortal. When I think what my life was before I had Christian Science, of the 6 years of colds and suffering and coughing, not to mention the unhappiness, I want to work, watch, and pray for the mind of Christ, that I may work rightly in God's vineyard, and to know that in truth, what belongs to one belongs to all, that one God, one life, truth, and love is all. Scientific healing has this advantage over other methods, that in it, truth controls error. Other methods undertake to oppose error with error, and thus they increase the antagonism of one form of matter towards other forms of matter or error. And the warfare between spirit and the flesh goes on. They make man an involuntary hypocrite, producing evil when he would create good, forming deformity when he would outline grace and beauty, injuring those who he would bless. He who has the true idea of good loses all sense of evil, and by reason of this is being ushered into the undying reality of spirit. Paul writes, "If Christ, truth, be not risen, then is our preaching vain." That is, if our idea of the supremacy of spirit, which is the true conception of being, come not to your thought, you cannot be benefited by what I say. It is not wise to take a halting and halfway position, or to expect to work equally with spirit and matter, truth and error. The scientific government of the body must be attained through the divine mind. It is impossible to gain control over the body in any other way. On this fundamental point, timid conservatism is absolutely inadmissible. Only through radical reliance on truth can scientific healing power be realized. Fear is the foundation of sickness, and you master fear and sin through divine mind. Hence, it is through divine mind that you overcome disease. The erring human mind is inharmonious in itself. From it arises the inharmonious body. To ignore God as of little use in sickness is a mistake. Instead of thrusting him aside in times of bodily trouble and waiting for the hour of strength in which to acknowledge him, we should learn that he can do all things for us in sickness as in health. Erring mind forces can work only evil under whatever name or pretense they are employed, for spirit and matter, good and evil, light and darkness, cannot mingle. An apostle says that the Son of God, Christ, came to destroy the words of the devil. We should follow our divine exemplar and seek the destruction of all evil works, error and disease included. Christ came to destroy the belief of sin. The God principle is omnipresent and omnipotent. God is everywhere, and nothing apart from him is present or has power. Christ is the ideal truth that comes to heal sickness and sin through Christian Science and attributes all power to God. In the quiet sanctuary of earnest longing, we must deny sin and plead God's allness. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of this meeting. The meeting is now open for the sharing of testimonies of healing and the practical power of prayer, as well as remarks on Christian Science. If you'd like to share a testimony, please just press *6 and your phone will be unmuted so that you may speak. We invite you to give us your name as you begin your testimony so that we may all get to know you. This time is now yours to share.
I just wanted to share, some of you have already heard this before, so apologize for that, but 8 years ago this week, Hurricane Katrina hit the coast of Louisiana and Mississippi, and the result of that was the beginning of our Wednesday meetings that we're having here today. We had actually started doing a teleconference Sunday church service back in the beginning of 2004, and we're doing a Sunday service each week via teleconference. And when Katrina hit and it destroyed the area, including damaging a number of Christian Science churches and societies, why, one of the people who at that time was attending our group had contacts with a number of the people that were down there. And she suggested that because their churches had closed down and that people had been scattered all over the country to take shelter, that we could help them by basically becoming their church while things were still up in the air. So she contacted ones she could, and they contacted others amongst themselves. And so 8 years ago, we began our first Wednesday testimony meeting via teleconference. And for a month, the readers of the various churches down there and the musicians from those churches became our readers and our musicians. And when they attended the church service, it was like, before the service started, it was like being in the lobby of a church, because many of these people had been scattered all over the place. They didn't even know where each of them were. And you'd hear them saying, "Oh, hi, so-and-so, where are you at? And it's so good that you're okay," and everything. And then we proceeded to have the meetings. And like I said, we had readers from the various churches in New Orleans, and we had readers from Mississippi. And that began our Wednesday testimony meetings that we call now the Wednesday Gathering. And we have done this continuously every single week since for 8 years. And I'm just so grateful for all those who have participated and who have served as readers for us and who have just supported what we're doing here metaphysically to make these meetings available for those who choose to come on board for whatever reason that they're here. I'm just grateful for the opportunity here that we've had to share the truth through this method. Thank you.